Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Big topic on this weekend show is the Donnell Fire that ignited over the summer in the Stanislaus National Forest, burned over 36,000 acres. During the first segment, we talked quite a bit with Clint Gould, the Deputy Forest Fire Management Officer with the Stanislaus National Forest, about what was witnessed during that fire. Now we're going to transition a little bit into the post-fire and the cleanup and the impacts and the concerns. We're going to be talking with Curtis Kwame, a soil scientist. Mr. Kwame, first off, the BEAR team, that's something that you hear a lot about after fires. What is the BEAR team and kind of the actions that you do? Because I know you're a part of that team.
That's right. The BEAR program stands for Burned Area Emergency Response. It's a program that the Forest Service has developed basically since the late 80s to assess the effects that a fire has on natural resources and cultural resources within the fire footprint. And then try to assess, based on the level of the fire, how severely the fire burned, what the effects of that fire were. From that, try to predict what may happen as we move into the winter months when we get rain events and things like that that can produce flooding and then other hazards to people that may be entering in that fire footprint. So it's really a program to assess the risk and the condition in that post-fire setting.
So after the fire ignited, roughly at one point did the BEAR team start to go in and start doing your assessments?
So we were in when the fire was close to containment. Our mandate is to provide a complete BEAR assessment within 7 days of when the fire is contained. As Clint mentioned earlier, this fire is not quite contained yet because there's a lot of area up in the wilderness that we have more difficulty getting firefighters up to. But we came in when the fire had certainly settled down quite enough, when it was safe enough for our staff to go in to the parts of the fire that had burned already.
A lot of people haven't had a chance to drive over the pass yet to see some of the damage. A lot of the area is still blocked off, so you can't see in general. So, for people who are very curious, what kind of damage did you find and impacts from the fire?
Yeah, so one of the main things the BEAR team does is to assess the soil burn severity within the fire. And that really is looking at the effects that the fire had to the soil itself. So most people think when a fire moves through, you see the vegetation burned off, the trees that have been killed, and that above ground look. That's a very important feature for how the fire itself responds over time. But our focus is looking at the soil burn severity, so how much heating is translated into the soil itself, how much of the fuels and things that sit on the surface of the ground are burned off by the fire. So in that, we saw about 32% of the fire burned at a moderate severity and only 6% of the fire burned at high severity. But you add those two together and it shows, 40 to 50% of the fire has quite a bit of vegetation removed, pretty severe effects to that soil where you can expect a higher response as the winter moves on. So we found other parts of the fire had a nice mosaic to it. Up in the wilderness, the northwest part of the fire that burned towards Spicer Reservoir did not have as high of a burn severity in that portion up there, but along the Clark Fork Road and along the 108 corridor, the middle fork of the Stanislaus there were some slopes that did have pretty consistent or continuous patches of high burn severity.
So a high burn severity, that 6%, what are kind of the big concerns and looking forward specifically for that area?
Yeah, those patches that we have both in the Clark Fork and Middle Fork Stanislaus drainages effectively have no vegetation cover present. Nearly 100% of the tree cover or the shrub cover has been burned off. And on top of that, the soil shows more heating than in other parts of the fire. And you can see this, an example would be comparing what a campfire looks like to a light prescribed burn that we're doing this time of year. You can imagine if just grasses burn off, for example, the grasses burn, but they burn off pretty quickly. So there's some heat that's produced there, but it happens relatively quick, and there isn't much that's translated into the soil itself. In a campfire, the logs and that wood that's sitting there is burning for a really long period of time, and a lot of heat moves down into the soil itself. That changes the properties of the soil, burns off organic matter, and then the soil itself actually has less cohesiveness. When raindrops impact it, it's more likely to erode. You'll add more debris and things into stream channels. So it's really that time the time that the fire sits on a particular spot, the amount of heat that's moved into the ground, that is our main focus, what we're looking at, to compare where we have really high concern levels within a fire footprint or lower concern levels.
Besides that, that roughly 40% area with the high or the moderate, that other area, is that an area where you just kind of leave alone then and just don't worry about?
It depends on the resources that we're looking at within the fire. So the BEAR team does do an assessment of the entire fire footprint, but our highest priority in the places that we really look to see what the threats and hazards would be if there's human life and safety at risk or property at risk. So those things are our focus. We'll spend a little more time there. In other parts of the fire in the wilderness, we will look, if it's too far to hike in, for example, we may only get a look at it from the computer, from satellite imagery that we get. So yeah, we do prioritize based on where we think the highest concerns, critical values and threats are within the fire.
So the report, it has, does it have recommendations of things to do? Or does the team itself actually go out and make those repairs and so forth?
A little bit of both. So based on the threats that we see to human life and safety, property, or natural resources and cultural resources, the team will sort of predict what the risks are to those different critical values. As I mentioned, the burn severity earlier, if you have a high burn severity above some property, like a road or something that is at risk of washing out, we may propose some treatments in order to mitigate the risks to those specific values. So yeah, the BEAR team does, we have quite a few treatments that we proposed within the Donnell fire. And then after our assessment is complete, we either find Forest Service staff in order to do some implementation of those treatments, or we may have contracts in order to implement those if we don't have the capacity to do it in-house with the Forest Service staff itself.
So I assume these treatments, would it be a goal to have them done before the heavy winter months?
Exactly. We can implement treatments up to a year after the fire has been contained, because some of these risks, if you have a high burn severity, can still be present in that second winter or even the third winter after the fire happens. But our goal is to do as much as we can where we think it will be effective in order to mitigate risks this season. And some of those, I'm talking about treatments, but really some of those are as simple as warning people of the hazards. In a post-fire environment, there are threats not only to property, but people that may be in that fire footprint. So we just want to make sure that people that are aware of the risks of being in that fire footprint.
So putting up signs and so forth, one way, you know, actually erosion control, what are some of the things that you can do kind of on a fast-paced basis?
That's a good, almost a historical perspective on how the BEAR program has evolved. In the past, and even in the rimfire, the BEAR team has proposed erosion control over large portions of a fire itself. In the past, we've done aerial seeding from helicopters and things to spread grass seed in a fire, hoping that that would regrow and then help the fire footprint recover more quickly. And in the rimfire, for example, 2013, we spread straw mulch over a couple thousand acres after that fire, with the intent of reducing the erosion that came off of the fire footprint. In the Donnell fire, we didn't prescribe that type of erosion control, if that's what you were asking about, partly because a lot of the slopes in that fire were much too steep for that treatment to be effective, and a lot of the fire was in a wilderness area. In the rim fire, we introduced unintentionally, but we did introduce some non-native weeds into the fire footprint that we didn't want to repeat that in the Donnell fire, because there are, in the wilderness, it's sort of a different management strategy, something that we don't necessarily want to introduce a species that's not intended on being there.
A lot of people always are concerned about the Dardanelle Resort area that got hit pretty hard. You know, what type of severity went through that part?
Yeah, the slopes above the Donnell Resort, I think, if I check my map, are mostly burned at moderate severity, but I hiked up directly behind the resort, and there are some patches in there that definitely burned what we would call high soil burn severity. But in general, the slope above that is burned overall at a moderate severity. So there could be some slow recovery of the vegetation in general up that entire Middle Fork drainage. I think, as Clint mentioned earlier, that's where the fire made some pretty big runs and moved quite a bit in a short amount of time. So there was concurrently quite a big loss of vegetation on those slopes above there. So there's certainly some concern along the Middle Fork drainage there.
With the Bear team, you talked a lot about the soil severity and concerns related to erosion. You know, do you go in and does the Bear team itself go in and kind of note like the infrastructure that was damaged, whether it be bridges or buildings? Is that part of the Bear report as well?
Our purpose is more directly to predict what the effects in the post-fire environment would be to those properties. So we did visit a lot of the cabins in that area and the Donnell Resort. But our intention is not to lay out what the damage of the fire itself was. It's more to predict what the effects of the winter will be. So there were other teams. I think the incident management team itself assessed how many cabins were burned, for example, and that information came out even sooner than the Bear team itself started. So the Dardanelle Bridge that burned in the fire is something more specifically that the Bear team did address. So it was a historic bridge on Highway 108 that was right adjacent to the current bridge that goes over the Middle Fork Stanislaw. It burned in the fire and sort of collapsed because most of the infrastructure was made out of wood. So the Bear team did propose a treatment to remove that bridge out of the river. We were able to secure funding for that and had a contractor come up, and I believe as of the beginning of this week or the end of last week, that has been removed from the Middle Fork River. So that is one treatment in particular that the Bear team did prescribe for the property within the fire.
Even with all the treatments being done, do you still encourage everyone who's going to be up in that area to use extreme caution and definitely be on the lookout?
Yes, definitely. There are hazard trees are a major concern, especially once you move away from the main infrastructure. If you're on a secondary road, like the Fence Creek Road above the Clark Fork River within the fire, or if you're on any of the trails within the Donnell Fire, there are going to be hazard trees along those routes for quite a while to come. They're along main infrastructure, the Forest Service will make our best attempt to remove and mitigate some of those hazards, but in other places they will be there for quite a while. More importantly and more maybe unexpected to a lot of people is the risks of debris flows and flooding within the fire perimeter. So we've been working pretty closely both with the county OES and the Sheriff's Office and the National Weather Service to identify what level of concern the Bear team had and try to predict where we think those risks of debris flows, flooding, and hazards associated with a rain or precipitation event will be within the Donnell Fire. The National Weather Service, in that storm we had in earlier October, I don't remember the date exactly, but National Weather Service issued a flood watch for the Donnell Fire because they saw thunderstorms moving in the direction toward the fire footprint and had enough of a concern that they thought there could be rain intensity that would peak and produce debris flows within the fire footprint, which can be very, very dangerous to people if they happen to be in that footprint near a stream channel within the Donnell Fire.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about fires on this weekend's Motherlode Views, notably the Donnell Fire in the Stanislaw National Forest that ignited August 1st. We were talking a lot about the growth of the fire as well as the post-fire cleanup and different things that come from the fire. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio this weekend by Clint Gould, who is the Deputy Forest Fire Management Officer for the Stanislaw, as well as Curtis Kwame, who is a soil scientist with the Stanislaw National Forest. We'll return with our final segment in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.